It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of August, 2022. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 Pacific. And whatever time it is that you're listening on the podcast, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. That seems to cover all the bases. I am happily home, safely home, from my sojourn to the sunny and beautiful burg. Couldn't have picked a better time to be there. Oh, my heavenly days. It was just lovely. And had a great time. And thanks again to Canton, Ohio, for sponsoring the trip. That was huge and really helpful. It's nice for me to get out of the hills and hollers once in a while and go and talk to other people of like mind and just see where, see, like I said, what the lay of the land is. But anyway, if you'd like to be part of the Wacky Zany, etc. Chat room, run on by, click on chat room on headon.live. And there you will be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Theo and incapably moderated by yours truly. As this Moran Monday edition of The Horn unfolds. And there's Roger in Oregon. Hey, Roger. Also, at headon.live, there is a little gold PayPal button, and it needs some love because bad things are going to happen here. And I'm not kidding. I mean, this isn't Oral Roberts talking about God's going to call him home or anything. Things that have to happen in order for this program to stay on the air, if we don't come up with it, if we don't manage to knock down the fundraising goal, horrible things are going to happen, and they're going to happen imminently, like in the next couple of days. So we do say thank you to our 22nd, 21st, and 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Colin. Thank you, Colin, working backwards. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of San Diego. Thank you to Harold, president and CEO of Sostris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you to Karen. Thank you, Karen, so very much. Thank you to Lori. Lori jumped in a la carte over the weekend. Please help keep Robin on the air. We can't afford to lose voices like hers, and especially in these times. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lori. Thanks go out to our buddy Reverbo, the human man. Thanks to Dr. John out in New Mexico. Thank you to Vincent. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Ralphs. And that means that, well, there we are. We are done. That's Saturday, Sunday, and today. Leaving us, thanks to Lori, leaving us with an $1,800 fundraising hole. Not the worst it's ever been, but pretty close. And under the circumstances, it's just reality. Under the circumstances, we need to raise it, and we need to raise it quickly. Because there's every possibility in the world that by, you know, day after tomorrow at the latest, this just won't be here. 5 o'clock Eastern will roll around and he'll go, hey, where's Robin? And Robin will be sitting here and can't get a show out. And that sucks. But it's also, you know, it's what happens when we live in a perpetual hole. We're in a constant game of catch up. And of course, you know, it's nice that, I mean, well, I don't even necessarily know that we would do it. If there was some way to, you know, do the whole buy gold now ads bullshit, would we do that? I like to think we've got more integrity here than that, but apparently integrity doesn't enter into the mix when you're out there hustling stupid beats and stuff like that. And for every hour of programming, you'd get about 40 hours of actual content. So I'm saying please as nicely as I possibly can. Been on the road, and it's really weird to work on the road. Didn't miss any air time by virtue of being on the road. We got on the air Thursday and got on the air Friday. I got to check in with a bunch of the different small group panels, breakout panels, whatever, at Netroots Nation. Saw a lot of the things that are topmost in a lot of grassroots minds all over the country. It was really good. And I would like to, you know, this little effort of ours that's been going on for 20 years or so, not quite 20 years, but very close, it would be wonderful if we could, well, keep it going toward those two decades. I found out at the end of it all, I found out that next year's Netroots Nation will be in Chicago. And that's my best approximation of a bad Chicago accent. I apologize. I talked to our dear friend Tara Devlin of TerraBuster, and I even had a brief conversation with Malloy. And he said, "By God, we all three ought to go to the next one." Sounds like kind of a fabulous idea. So maybe we'll start working on that. That'd be a hell of a road trip, Chicago. I'll check in with Chris in Portland and work on my pronunciation between now and then. But I do love Pittsburgh, the diversity, the multiculturalism, and you know, Boss Man Wayne told me something, and I didn't realize this. Pittsburgh is a genuine progressive success story. Because we tend to think about, well, you know, when the steel industry collapsed and the brown fields took over, but the fact of the matter is, there are 50,000 more jobs in Pittsburgh, progressive Pittsburgh. There are 50,000 more jobs now than there were during the height of the steel industry. That didn't happen by accident. And it is a testament to their grit and determination and a lot of good progressive people. So I found that really inspiring. And it would not be, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention, you know, food porn. If you can't eat in Pittsburgh, you can't eat. I found a beautiful Italian eatery called DeNoia's in the Strip. I had the best gnocchi I have ever eaten in my life. I was torn between the cacio e pepe and the homemade gnocchi and meatballs and homemade sauce. I opted for the gnocchi and meatballs and sauce. I knocked down a half of it. The meatballs were the size of baseballs, for God's sakes. And they were heavenly, and the sauce was wonderful. And then I brought home something for everybody to try. just a couple of blocks down from the Italian place, there was a Polish deli. Oh, my heavens. Sparky asked, yes, but what do those jobs pay, Robin? Those are good-paying union jobs. They're not $10 an hour at the Rippy Mart. Those 50,000 more jobs are high-tech. There's a lot of tech in Pittsburgh. And a lot of union jobs. I mean, that's why there was such a union presence at Netroots Nation. I mean, you could see it all around. I mean, my God, the downtown hotels were going for no kidding. An ordinary, not particularly fantastic room was $600. But that's, they are very good jobs, and it's a very prosperous city. Thanks, you needed to say that, says Sparky. Yeah. It's not like West Virginia jobs. It's not like the, $9 an hour. But it's gotten to the point where even the places like Sheets are advertising, $16 an hour for management jobs. Of course, we said, 15 years ago, we were talking about we needed a $15 minimum wage. Now we need a $25 minimum wage. Because somehow or another, working people always seem to be on the short end of the stick. But I found a Polish deli on my heavenly days, and they had pierogies packed to go. So I brought home some potato and cheddar pierogies, and I brought home some sauerkraut and mushroom pierogies, and I brought home some halouskis, cabbage rolls to the rest of us. But I brought some of those home, and there has been much. And also, good God, this deli had like 7 or 8 or maybe 10 different kinds of kielbasa. And you know that I have a terrible problem with sausages, and my life has become unmanageable. I wanted to try them all, but I just came home with it because I was worried about, the portability and, going to be on the road for a while. So I brought home the dried. I'd never had dried kielbasa. Oh, my heavens. It is just garlicky and smoky and during best part of the day last night, I got it out, and Annette and I were watching the first episode of the Game of Thrones prequel. Every bit as bloody as the last one, yay! And sad, too, right off the bat. Not a lot of laughs in Game of Thrones shows, I guess. I'm kind of new to the whole thing. I said, hey, you want a bite? And she goes, yeah. A little bit later, she looked at me, more, please? Absolutely. And it... S&D Polish Deli. This is unpaid product placement, but if you find yourself in the Strip District in Pittsburgh, pop in. I mean, and the shelves were lined with canned goods from Poland and Ukraine and Slovenia. And I had no idea there were so many different kinds of sauerkraut, and I wanted to try them all. Huh. Maybe another time. I got to thinking how much fun it would be to go up there and take the grandbabies. Well, Lily needs to get a little bit older, but it would be nice to go up there and take the grandbabies and take them to the zoo, and the children's museum is just fascinating, and the Western Pennsylvania History Museum, the John Hines History Museum, they're all just fantastic. The purpose was Netroots Nation, and it did not disappoint in terms of content and advocacy. Technically, it could have been a little bit better for Radio Row. It really could have. Rick Smith mentioned that, and Arnold talked a little bit about it. Great to see those two. So. Maybe it gets better. I don't know. It's just impossible to broadcast when one of your broadcast neighbors has taken over your table, one. And two, is doing a live event where they've got people shouting, I mean, you know, top of their lungs, you know, cheering for who's the best at whatever. Rick and Arnold just decamped and moved way the hell far away for their, so that they could do their interviews, because it was just, well, it was impossible. Let's see. Let's, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much to Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. Brendan just got us down below the $1,800 mark. So we are at $1,790 to go. And hopefully Brendan will have lots and lots of company so that we can continue this little broadcast effort. Thank you, Brendan. And, one other thing, just before airtime, it kind of changed the attitude that I brought to the program this evening. Annette is babysitting the grandbabies, and I popped in to see her with she's just so good with babies, and I leaned over to speak to little Lily. And I spoke to her softly, and because I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to call her. And when I spoke to her as Junie Lee, well, it was as though the sun came from behind clouds, and she smiled at me. Oh, I'd never seen her smile before. She's not even 3 months. And she just turned and looked at me with those great big old blue eyes and absolutely smiled, biggest smile. Her face was just alight with joy, and I pretty much melted. So maybe she's going to be Junie Lee. I don't know. Maybe that's my name for her, and everybody else will call her something else. But maybe she... Because, see, there have been other children named June and Junie who have lived in this house. Oh, but it was sweet. And having had one of those little smiles, I want lots more. But it is Moran Monday, and we have a swamp to wade into, because, well, they've piled up over the weekend, and we will get to as many of them as we possibly can. Ron in Raleigh says, Pittsburgh is what happens when you stop holding on to a dying industry and move on to the emerging thing. It could happen to West Virginia if people stopped holding on to its dying industry. Well, there's really nobody left to hold on to it. I mean, from a high of 100-some-odd thousand coal miners in the 1980s, which was, you know, blows my mind, but that was 40 years ago, to now, it's dwindled to probably under 10,000. There's not much coal industry left, but the problem is there's a lot of coal industry money left. When the steel industry left Pittsburgh, they left and took their money with them. The coal industry likes to leave. Their money is still here, and it's being transferred. And there's also some transference, Ron, to, of course, fracking. Oof. And it's attitudinal, and it would probably take all 3 hours to explain all of it. But the very origins of West Virginia are born out of the idea that there's nothing really much here that people can do for themselves, which is a lie. But it is nonetheless, well, yeah. So it's happening. Slowly, but we also don't have a lot of major urban centers. You know, Pittsburgh existed. And remember, too, Pittsburgh is a progressive town, but as has so often been said, Pennsylvania is Pittsburgh in the west and Philly in the east and Alabama in the middle. You don't have to go too far out of Pittsburgh before you start seeing the Trump flags. Remember, Tree of Life Synagogue is in a suburb of Pittsburgh. It's not like it's some sort of progressive wonderland. That's the thing. If you want nice things, you have to fight for nice things, and you have to be, you have to preserve them and protect them. It's kind of like that possibly apocryphal story about Ben Franklin saying to the lady in Philadelphia back in 1787, who said, "Dr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have?" And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." It's the keeping part where the work comes in. But anyway, Ron and Raleigh had a question to get us started. I read the linked article, and all I could do was facepalm. Since you're a part of the community referred to in the article, perhaps you can explain this to me. As a black man, this seems to me like opening a chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. How in the name of all that's reasonable can this be happening? Talk about self-hating. And the article itself comes from Salon by Christopher Connor. And the feature photograph at the head of the article is a rainbow flag with LGBTs for Trump written across the yellow stripe. And basically the gist of the article is, the title itself is, "Why is far-right ideology taking hold in LGBT plus communities?" I haven't seen a lot of it, but I have seen some of it. Mr. Connor, the author, points out, "It may shock readers to learn that a gay French socialite and artist named Renaud Camus coined the Great Replacement Theory, an idea which has been promoted in far-right circles. The gist of the Great Replacement is the idea that whites are being replaced at a rate such that they will be the minority by 2050, and that liberal politicians are trying to make it go faster." It's there, but, you know, look, the Republican Party had for years, I think they've dwindled mostly, but remember the log closet Republicans? You know, the people who said, "Well, you know, sure, we're gay, and sure, our party hates our guts and would like to march us off to the concentration camps, but what about the economy?" And I have met, I've met people in my portion of the community who, "Oh my God, support Trump because he's for strong borders." You okay? So yeah, it is. You know, it's a reality that you're going to have outliers in any community. And it's no different. It's no different there. I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are self-hating gay people, self-hating gay guys who would love nothing more than to see Obergefell overturned. I don't know. I've heard some inklings of trans people who think that maybe the kids are being able to trans too early. Oh God. The author, Mr. Connor, says, "In 2016, I witnessed how toxic this had become when lesbian protesters in London gathered to disrupt the London Pride Parade and promote transphobic messaging." And, of course, that shit crossed the ocean. So, I kind of saw that on the fly, Ron, and I won't necessarily be able to... I wasn't able to just digest the whole of it, but it was... You're gonna have it. I mean, no groups are monoliths, and especially on the progressive side of the spectrum. And that's, you know, that's something I saw on display this past weekend, and that is the fact that, well, when I go back to the phrase, you know, people used to say herding cats. No, it's butterfly wrangling. Because if you get one in the net, that means the other ones you had have all flown away. And the reason that the left... what left? The reason the left doesn't march lockstep is because we're the left. Such as it is. The authoritarian side is the right-wing side. The fascists are the ones who do the goose-stepping. The so-called left has meetings. But I hope you get my point. We don't. Back when he was respectable. Van Jones, and this is 2009, addressed a group meeting. It was in D.C. called Power Shift. No. He was actually appearing at a healthcare conference in D.C. Guy James was there. I was there. Rick Smith was there. And he said one of the fundamental dichotomies is that the right talks about individuality and acts collectively, whereas the left talks about collectivism and acts individually. I've never heard it put better. Of course, you know, he went on to be among the... It was at CNN when he declared that bright, shining moment when Trump finally became presidential, and bless his heart, his credibility's plumb in the toilet, but, well... People got to be who people going to be. But I think that does explain a lot. And, well, LGBTs for Trump, Stephen New York says, interesting. Remember blacks for Trump? What's next? Women's is for Trump? Next! Next, Steve? They've been there all along. You know, Emery and Marveline showing up to the Trump rally, and she's wearing her T-shirt with an arrow pointed down at her crotch, and it says, he can grab my... anytime. Hey, look at... Harriet Hagrid in Wyoming. You know, we played the audio from her... interview with that life support system for a haircut, you know, the Hannity job, where she, well, you know, Liz never called me. You know, it's amazing to think Harriet Hagrid and Liz Cheney, both being Wyoming Indians, sorry, don't know the word, they were buddies. They were GOP gal pals. But the power and pull of the big lie, well, I guess Harriet always wanted to be a member of Congress. And so she sunk the shiv in Liz Cheney's back when the opportunity presented itself, you know. And it's a classic example of the fact that politics is blood sport. Or politics ain't beanbag. And so two people who were friends wind up, well, one of them winds up sprouting daggers from betwixt her ribs. And the other one winds up standing on a stage yelling, MAGA, 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 Bruga, 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 Trump really won, the election was stole, you know. But yeah, blacks for Trump.
There's my African-American.
You remember? You remember the rally? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, we get an idea of the kind of morality we're going to be looking at, but holy God. For this, I feel like we have to crank up the Calliope. I mean... We won't do the whole spiel about there from the Carnival Midway and the thin cybernetic veil of canvas and all of that stuff, but this just feels necessary.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. One day only. Yes, here, on the Carnival Midway. a special, special, one-day-only event. The Moran Monday tent is dedicated specifically to the Senate race in Georgia. Yes. Not every day will you go walking down the Carnival Midway and see the likes of this, but here, well, here we have, oh my goodness gracious sakes alive, we have Herschel Walker. He's the only one in the tent today. Everybody else has to take a number. Herschel, you see, is upset about the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Or at least he's been told that he should be upset about the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. I mean, what the... This is, I'd say breathtaking, but, you know, it might, oh dear God. We'll probably have more Herschel stories as we move inexorably closer to the November election. And this, in a way, it reminds me of something I saw after I'd crossed into Pennsylvania on the way to Pittsburgh. That billboard that said, "If you like having electricity 24/7 on demand, thank a coal miner." Nerp. Nothing in there about thanking a fracker. And it, the Green New Deal will kill America. And it's on a... When's the last time any of us were talking about the Green New Deal? Anybody. Even AOC, for God's sakes. And this is August of 2022, and some bunch of coal goobers are paying for a billboard that can't be cheap talking about the Green New Deal. Well, it reminded... that's on a level of stupid that does remind me of Herschel, or Herschel reminds me of that. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution had the story. He's out there a-campaigning, if that's what you call opening your mouth and demonstrating your manifest stupidity for all and sundry. Herschel is. And they've tried to boil down the talking points to where Herschel can kind of, sort of, maybe... on a good day, understand them. You know, in between putting a gun to the head of his ex-wives or trying to hide his gay son. And I'm sorry we don't have audio for this. It would have been double plus super duper funny if we had. But the Washington Post got wind of it, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution got wind of it. And yesterday, he made a campaign appearance, Herschel did, in Georgia. And he was, like I said, he was opining about the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And... of course, it's got some timid, tepid, weak climate change stuff in it, and a shit ton of the complicated scientific term, a shit ton of corporate welfare for the hydrocarbon industry in it, because you always got to take care of them, remember? And so by signing the Inflation Reduction Act into law, well, President Biden has apparently put trees ahead of people. I know. Oh, did I issue a hockey puck warning? Because this is definitely hockey puck warning material. Herschel said they continue to try to fool you that they are helping you out, but they're not, because a lot of money, it's going to trees. Don't we have enough trees around here? Ho, ho, ho. I tell you what, that's some common sense talk from Herschel Walker. And you know what? The margin between Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker is scary narrow. So apparently this works among really, really stupid people or willfully ignorant people in Georgia. Don't we have enough trees around here? Yeah, that's right, Marvelline. We got a lot of trees here in Georgia. Lots and lots of trees. That was all that was said on the matter, because when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reached out to Herschel's campaign, they just kind of didn't return the call. But he did talk to the Journal-Constitution over the weekend, because they asked him what he thought about. And we talked about this. What they thought about Moscow Mitch McConnell saying that Republicans might not keep the Senate because those are statewide races and it has a lot to do with the quality of the candidates, which some people thought was an indirect reference to people like Herschel and Dr. Oz. J.D. Vance, and probably, he said that regarding McConnell's comments, I don't ever worry about stuff like that. When I got into this race, I got in this race to win it for the people. I said, guys, I'm here for the people of Georgia. I'm not worried about what people say. But it's not what people say, it's what he says. Like, don't we have enough trees around here? Or, we have to replace China's bad air, where we gotta clean that back up, I guess, in Georgia? And I'm trying to figure out this must have been just a delightful little carnival. In Sandy Springs, Georgia, there is an organization called the Republican Jewish Coalition. And I'll bet it has some substantial numbers. See above, earlier in the program, gays for Trump, blacks for Trump, women's for Trump, Jews for Trump. I'm resisting the urge to make a reference to something that would probably be culturally insensitive, so I won't. But you gotta figure that had to be a humdinger of a meeting with the Republican Jewish Coalition in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Don't we have enough trees around here? Lee in New York points out, don't we have enough trees? Never say that to an ant. Huh. Nice Tolkien reference to begin the program. Thank you, Lee. Well, begin. We're 40 minutes in, but yeah. That's my ant noise. Oh, dear, dear, Robin Steve says, you're forgetting old Hirsch, the Hirsch Herschel, is talking about the gay trees, like the ones which started the forest fires in California a few years ago. Oh, I would have probably been better off if I'd continued forgetting about the gate. But yes, and see, those fires got started just because, well, the gay tree, they were trying to protect California against the effect of the gay trees by taking them out with the Jewish space lasers. How do you reckon the Republican-Jewish coalition of Sandy Springs, Georgia, which is not that far from marginal Trailer Queens district, how do you reckon they feel about, oh, I don't know, Jewish space lasers and marginal Trailer Queen? Well, the Washington Post reached out to Dan Gottlieb. Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Mrs. Claypool, Herr Gottlieb. Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Now we have enough for bridge. Never a bad moment for a Groucho Marx quote. But fainting with damn praise, Dan Gottlieb of the Georgia Democratic Party, the spokesman therefore, told the Washington Post, quote, the few policies Walker can articulate, like his support for a nationwide abortion ban and opposition to legislation to reduce drug costs for seniors, are harmful to Georgians. But his inability to demonstrate even the most basic understanding of other key issues shows he isn't ready to represent Georgia in the U.S. Senate. Which is a really long, convoluted, and complicated and proper English answer that could have otherwise been expressed as, that man is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. And maybe that's what needs to be said. You got to speak American, big AAA, so as everybody can understand, as Phil Harris once sang in somebody else's words. But the Washington Post, and this is just a little sub-nomination for Morian Monday, the Washington Post writes, the Journal Constitution debunked previous claims by Walker that he had worked in law enforcement and had been an FBI agent. Okay, we're so far so good. The Daily Beast, and they link to the article, the Daily Beast reported that Walker had a 10-year-old son out of wedlock whom he hadn't discussed publicly. And then is in a secondary reference to the Daily Beast said, the left-leaning news site reported that Walker had another 13-year-old son with a different woman as well as an adult daughter he fathered as a college student. Walker has spoken on the campaign trail about his close relationship with another son, 22-year-old Christian. Can anybody help me, please, in regard to the necessity to refer to the Daily Beast as a left-leaning news site? Is that some sort of Washington Post virtue signaling? Oh, we're objective journalists. We call Trump Mr. once in a while. What purpose does that... No, really. What journalistic purpose does it serve to slur the Daily Beast as a left-leaning news site? Would it be any different of a story if it had just been the Daily Beast reported that Walker had a 10-year-old son out of wedlock whom he hadn't discussed publicly? And further reported that Walker had another 13-year-old son with a different woman as well as an adult daughter he followed as a... Does one need to be a left-leaning news site in order to report facts? Does that water down the facts? And then setting it off ideologically with another sentence Walker spoken on the campaign trail about his close relationship with another son, 22-year-old Christian? Isn't that the son who's still got at least, you know, a foot in the closet, but not much else? Well, making a statement to the Washington Post, then Hirsch said, "I have 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter. They're not undisclosed. They're my kids." Saying I hide my children because I don't discuss them with reporters to win a campaign, that's outrageous. I can take the heat. That's politics, but leave my kids alone. Well, see, there's only one problem with that. No one's going after the kids. No one has gone after the kids. I mean, if anything, there's probably a significant degree of sympathy for, say, his... pretty sure he's gay son in having a dad like Herschel. And there's worry about a father who points firearms at the heads of his intimate partners in terms of, you know, how good he might be as a daddy. And then the Post says that Walker confirmed the Daily Beast's reporting, so what? No reference to them still being left-leaning there? Washington Post? And John Wagner? But they did point out that Walker has in the past chided absentee black fathers. I mean, ain't we got enough trees? Just take a moment while you still got the hockey puck and try to translate that into a debate in the Senate of the United States of America. Oh, Georgia, you saved our asses in 2020. Please, please, pretty please, save our asses again. Go to the polls like your life depends on it, because, well, I know over next door they've got Tommy the tuber. But great heavenly days, do you really want to immediately just slingshot to the front of the stupidest senator in America competition? Most of the time, Georgia is like, well, yeah, I mean, Alabama's next door and everything, but we're Georgia, we got some civilization. I mean, look at Atlanta. Atlanta's nice. That'll be devastating. But maybe some Republicans are thinking, well, you know, we'll get him up to Washington, D.C., and Mitch McConnell will get him in hand, and teach him everything he knows about how to fuck America real good, like. Morons. And it's not like they're in short supply this evening. No. Republican Jews, Lee in New York writes, of course Jews have space lasers, the best space lasers. And the neighboring nation should never attack. Those lasers are protected by cloaking technology. We will not tell if we got them from the Romulans or the Klingons. Remember, Shatner and Nimoy are Jewish. True. Thank you for our obligatory evening Star Trek reference. Much obliged, Lee. Reading on Quora, Ron and Raleigh says, a person wrote on Quora that Joe Biden was totally at fault for the so-called border crisis and that he's the only one who could solve it. There's a simple solution to the problem. Stop allowing American companies from hiring undocumented workers and file charges against business owners who do. Also, find the bejeebus out of them, and if they persist, shut their asses down. How long will this take to slow down the flow from south of the border? We could then help those countries improve their economies and stop fucking around in their politics. Well, I think there's truth in a lot of that. Stop fucking around in their politics should probably be at the top of the list. And remember that NAFTA ramped up. I know nobody likes to talk about it. NAFTA ramped up the flow of people across the border because people were, you know, farmers, campesinos, were driven off of their land because Merkin business wanted to come down there and build a factory, which maybe those folks were not going to be invited to participate in. And for, oh, by the way, speaking of Georgia and Atlanta, earlier today as I prepared to come on air, the Atlanta Police Department tweeted that we're currently, and this was earlier this afternoon, about 2:41, we're currently working an active shooter situation in Midtown. Preliminary information indicates three people have been shot. The shooter is not in custody, and we have multiple officers in the area searching for the suspect. Please advise residents to stay off the streets and in the Midtown areas, specifically the areas between 12th Street and Peachtree Street Northeast and 15th Street and West Peachtree Street Northwest. And Jesus God, a Peachtree Street reference in Midtown Atlanta could mean anything. So, apparently the NRA roulette wheel stopped in Atlanta today. Because freedom. That's all I have at the moment. And speaking of speaking of outbreaks of freedom, another story for the more in stack here in a moment. Ron says, I've been hearing a lot of right-wing leaning commentators saying how the children of conservative politicians should be left alone. You remember when Rush Limbaugh called Chelsea Clinton the White House dog? I don't remember anyone on the right saying a mumbling word. No, of course not. Oh, Rush didn't mean nothing by it. Rush is a comedian, you say. My friends, I'm a comedian. I get on the air and I say funny things for 3 hours a day. Oh, no, another pineapple. Yeah. But who's going after these right-wing children? Or children of right-wing politicians? Who's doing that? Nobody that I'm aware of. You know, we had those moments in the last couple of years. Remember Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's daughter, who actually went on social media and got a gazillion views or impressions or whatever we call those things, when she pointed out that they doctored the family Christmas photo because she was showing too much tummy? Or then there was, Kellyanne Conjob. And Kellyanne Conjob's daughter took her to task. There was that. But that wasn't anybody going after the children of right-wing politicians. At all. And I'm still trying to figure this one out. Um, and I sincerely do not understand. And that's, you know, that's not for broadcast purposes. That's, I don't get this. Nine people have been arrested in Kentuckystan over an incident at the Kentucky State Fair. I mean, it's that time of year. The West Virginia State Fair was recent. The West Virginia State Fair comes around in August. I guess the Kentucky State Fair does, and people still like to go to state fairs. I don't know why. The only reason I ever would have shown up was primarily because at one point in time, there were still people who were doing old-school hand-dipped corn dogs. You know, they were heavenly. But, you know, they've since moved on, and they just use those same frozen monstrosities and abominations that you can buy in the freezer case at Wally World. Blech. But nine people Saturday night used noise-making devices. I mean, are there stories like this in other countries, or is this just how fucked up we are? I'm trying for the life of me to sort that out. They used noise-making devices to make other people think there was an active shooter at the Kentucky State Fair. Kentucky State Police arrested eight of the assholes. I mean, is there another word? I mean, do we have to say alleged assholes? Arrested eight of the assholes, and the Kentucky Fair Board Police, because I guess that exists, arrested one other. There were three adults and six underage people, minors. It's Kentucky, so when you're doing radio and you say minors, it's not as clear as when it's in print and it says minors. No, it was not three adults and six co-workers. It was three adults and six kids. So that. I've been scratching my little punkin head over this all day long, trying to figure out who would get a kick out of stampeding people, because that's what happened. People took off running for all they were worth because it seemed like just another day in America when the National Rifle Association got its way and the roulette wheel of death had stopped at the Kentucky State Fair. Using a term I have never seen before, the news release said that the Kentucky State Police had effected a soft closure of the state fair, meaning they didn't say, everybody out right now. No, they just, I guess they said, okay, it's probably a good idea for you to go now. Okay, good, yeah. It's 10 o'clock, okay. And that the fair would be up and running again the next day. Now, of the nine people arrested, and I know this is not a story of great moment, but there's something in here that bothers me. There's something that in here that feels like it's an escalation of an already horribly messed up situation. They face charges of disorderly conduct, menacing, possession of stolen property, and possession of a handgun. So they actually had a gun. Does handgun include cap guns? Blank pistols? Noise-making device. See, it feels like the people in charge of the information here played it really close to the vest with what exactly happened. Possession of stolen property. You, what, they knocked over a Rippy Mart and stole some slushies and brought them to the... No. I include this in Moran Monday as a nomination because... And this is the rankest form of speculation at this point. But it almost sounds like they used the idea that there was going to be an active shooter drill to steal stuffed animals from the Midway. What? But there was a handgun. At this time, KSP, Kentucky State Police investigators have found no physical evidence the weapon was discharged during the disruption, but the investigation remains ongoing. As our friend Scott in San Diego would say, what the fluorescent fuck was going on here? And, you know, there's some video that accompanies this. Somebody whipped out their cell phone. It shows humans engaging in stampeding behavior. People could have been far more grievously hurt than turned out. And not that I'm a big fan of big government, but how is this not? Oh, I feel bad even saying this. How is this not some sort of, you know, kind of sort of maybe terroristic activity? There was a time in America when this would just be called a prank. But that was a time in America before children got slaughtered in fourth grade classrooms. Or first and second graders got wasted in their schools. Or high school kids got blown away with semi-automatic weapons fire in Florida at their high school. Sometimes I see a story and it's possibly kind of anodyne, but the longer you look at it, the weirder it gets. Because this country is in a bad place. And I don't like saying that. I mean, we've always had political division in this country, but not like this. At least not like this since, say, 1860. And, you know, in the post-Civil War period up to the point where, you know, it was an open insurrection and President Grant sent in the army to shut down the Klan. And then Rutherford B. Hayes canceled Reconstruction. So for me to say we've not been at a time in this country since 1850, that's kind of a big giveaway of my privilege. It's been bubbling under the surface for eons, and, you know, once again, we reference Richard Hofstadter and the paranoid style in American politics, 1964, maybe 62. But it really feels like it's out in the open now. Bigly. Stephen New York says, the guy at the fair was pissed his sea monkeys died. Hey, maybe he wanted to steal all the sweet little baby iguanas that we talk about on most Morian Mondays. And see, Lee was right there. Kentucky State Fair. Could it have been someone upset that they never won an iguana by throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls? Just a moronic question. But the fact that there were 9 people seems like it's organized. It's, oh, dear God, a conspiracy. Okay, I'll use the noisemakers. I'll start throwing the poppets and the snapping pops, and you go in and get the teddy bears. ordinarily, it would be kind of a funny, stupid story, but again, not in 2022. No, hell no. Not when the sound of shots fired. It can happen anywhere, anytime, with horrifying results. And, you know, not that Republicans want to do anything to prevent moments like that. I don't know that anybody's asked Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, about it, but I'm sure he would just say it was an outbreak of freedom. And now, thank you, Steve. I did see that. Nitwit Nero's really bad lawyers have filed yet another lawsuit to lose because there's no incentive for him not to. Today, Nitwit Nero, by and through counsel, sued the United States government because the FBI, serving a duly applied for and duly issued search warrant, executed the same at his bedbug-infested shithole, Mar-a-Lardass. A lawyer by the name of Jim Trusty, Trusty Jim, when you go last name first, that would be a great name to have as a lawyer, but I'd say his career is over now that he's representing Nitwit Nero. Filed the paperwork. The suit argues that the court should appoint a special master, usually a retired lawyer or a judge, because the FBI potentially seized privileged materials in its search, and the Department of Justice should not itself decide what it can use in its investigation. This is nuts. In case anybody's wondering, this is nuts. This is another case of Nitwit Nero thinking he is special, that he deserves procedures that would not attach to any other American. He filed it, of course, in the Southern District of Florida, and he wants the government to provide a more detailed receipt for property and require the government to return any item seized that was not within the scope of the search warrant. I'm pretty sure that the search warrant itself was a wide net. Hopefully, this thing will die the same sordid death that all of his other lawsuits die. But it's South Florida, and you don't know how successful they were at forum shopping. So it's another one of those wait-and-see kind of things. The funniest thing, though, about the, you know, trying to get the unredacted application for the search warrant, the affidavit in support thereof. The biggest ha-ha in it, if that's ha-ha, is that the magistrate, Bruce Reinhart, also known as Not Judge Reinhold, said that revealing the affidavit would disclose details about Mar-a-Lardass that could keep the Secret Service from properly doing their job of protecting the adipose corpulent hide of Nitwit Nero. Writing in a motion, Magistrate Reinhardt said the affidavit discusses physical aspects of the premises, which is a location protected by the United States Secret Service. Disclosure of those details could affect the Secret Service's ability to carry out its protective function. This factor weighs in favor of sealing. And so, at least until this Thursday, well, the DOJ has till Thursday to introduce or provide a redacted form of the affidavit. And then Reinhardt says he'll look at whether or not he should remove the seal. He also said he was satisfied that the facts laid out in the affidavit were accurate. He would not have signed it were they not. Magistrate Reinhardt says, having carefully reviewed the affidavit before signing the warrant, I was and am satisfied that the facts sworn by the affiant are reliable, so releasing the affidavit to the public would not cause false information to be disseminated. There's no indication that the interveners seek these records for any legitimate purpose, because the interveners in this case are media organizations. And he went on to note, Magistrate Reinhardt did, neither former President Trump nor anyone else purporting to be the owner of the premises has filed a pleading taking a position on the intervener's motion to unseal. In other words, they kind of don't know what to do. But meanwhile, they were also planning to file this lawsuit today, asking for the appointment of a special master to second-guess the Department of Justice. A special master who doesn't know shit from Shinola about what's actually going on. I have no doubt, Steve in New York pointing out Trump's latest lawsuit, I'm sure he's raising money off it already. I have no doubt whatsoever. As to trusty Jim, Jeremy in Vermont says, hey, look on the bright side, Robin. Jim can just cleverly, in the next few decades, if it takes to get back his reputation just for his dye his hair a deep shade of red orange and rename himself Rusty Jim because of his lack of work. Okay, that's the first cowbell of the evening. That's quality. And of course, I should note, now having Phil Robstered through the first more than the first hour of the program, this is a conversation program. If anybody wants to chat, you're more than welcome to jump right in. The stress line is, or will be, momentarily hotted up and ready to go. Let me just make sure of that. Yes, the stress line is connected to the broadcast board, so that's good. And of course, you can always reach me on Skype. Skype is, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. One of the last few places where Bob still has anything resembling a corporeal existence, or at least a digital existence. That and the opening of the program. Jesus, I need to get after that. But jump in if you, and if you've got something you'd like to add to the conversation, you're more than welcome. And speaking of judges and scheduling and such like, over the weekend, we found out that while a U.S. district court, had told Precious Lindsey that he was going to have to stick his hand in the air and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, an appeals court issued a stay of the district court's order. It was described in my news feed as a win for Precious Lindsey, but it's only a temporary win. And it was at the U.S. Appeals Court level. And ABC News reported today, in a brief order, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals sent the ruling back down to the district court, instructing the judge there to weigh any potential changes to Fulton County's grand jury subpoena to Graham in alignment with the Constitution's speech and debate clause. Oh, for God's sakes. The clause, which offers lawmakers certain legal protections when they're acting in their official capacities, is at the heart of Graham's challenge to the subpoena for his testimony. So that put the ball back in the district court's court. And District Judge Lee Martin May said, okay, Lindsay, you've got till 9 a.m. Wednesday to file a motion as to exactly which questions and or categories you're requesting the court to address in an order to partially quash the subpoena. It should be a fairly brief response. All of them, Your Honor, all of them. I'm positively getting the fan tods and the vapors just thinking about it. So that means there's going to be there's going to be a fairly quick resolution. And how you can qualify placing a phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State to arm twist him to try to gin up some extra votes for Nitwit Nero, how that's part of speech and debate? Anybody? Bueller? That feels a lot more like what is commonly referred to as a shakedown. You know, kind of like what his hero, Nitwit Nero, did with the president of Ukraine. Okay, you have to read the first paragraph's first couple of lines of the Trump complaint. This ought to be good. Motion for judicial oversight and additional relief filed today in the matter of the search of Mar-a-Lago, 1100 South Ocean Boulevard. Really? Ocean's 11? That's where we are now? The goddess of irony? Jesus, she is working overtime. Palm Beach, Florida. President Donald J. Trump, movant, through his undersigned counsel, Trusty Jim, respect, sounds like a name from I don't know, Treasure Island. Yar, Trusty Jim, hand me a parrot. Respectfully files this motion. Sure, respectfully. that's an adverb not doing much work. This motion for judicial oversight and additional relief, which seeks an order that A, appoints a special master, B, enjoins further review of seized materials by the government until a special master is appointed, C, requires the government to provide a more detailed receipt for property, and D, requires the government to return any item seized that was not within the scope of the search warrant, and states as follows. And I think this is the beautiful part, according to Stephen New York. 1. Introduction. Politics cannot be allowed to impact the administration of justice. President Donald J. Trump is the clear frontrunner in the 2024 Republican presidential primary and in the 2024 general election should he decide to run. Footnote 1. Beyond that, his endorsement in the 2022 midterm elections has been decisive for Republican candidates. On August 8, 2022... in a shockingly aggressive move and with no understanding of the distress that it would cause most Americans, roughly 24 special agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, directed by attorneys of the U.S. Department of Justice, the government, raided the home of President Donald J. Trump. According to the government, the agents seized documents, privileged and or potentially privileged materials and other items, including photos, handwritten notes, and even President Trump's passports that were outside the lawful reach of an already overbroad warrant. President Trump, like all citizens, is protected by the Fourth Amendment to the new 90 States Constitution, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Property seized in violation of his constitutional rights must be returned. This seedy little bastard's trying to make a buck.
Oh, my God, he's going to wind up suing for damages.
And then we get some more lecturing. Law enforcement is a shield that protects Americans.
No, it isn't.
It's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Law enforcement has no duty to protect any fucking body. And that's been ruled upon time after time after time. From the first moment that the government informed Movant, who wasn't there, through counsel that a search was underway, he demanded transparency. Movant asked the government the questions that any American citizen would ask under the circumstances, namely,
why raid my home with a platoon of federal agents when I have voluntarily cooperated with your every request? What are you trying to hide from the public, given that you requested that I turn off all home security cameras and even refused to allow my attorneys to observe what your agents were doing? Why have you refused to tell me what you took from my home?
Oddly enough, there are no quotation marks around that. Are these taken from Truth Social? I don't know. But the bottom line is that to the extent that these documents were marked SCI and TS, the special master is not empowered at all to see those documents. Some retired judge or whatnot? Hardly. And requires the government to provide a more detailed receipt for property. More detailed? What? Does he want them to actually out the classified materials? Yeah, hopefully this thing just gets bounced. And just think, Jeremy writes, all of this search crap could have remained private had this moron not bitched and complained the day it happened. We very well may be dependent on what does or doesn't happen, may have never heard about this FBI raid of the people's documents. Yeah. By the way, they weren't his. That's an important point, Jeremy. They were not his documents. This is a busy, busy, busy Monday. Over the weekend, and we've mentioned this creep on air in the past. No, it's not another story about Donald Trump. Quit it. Alexander Dugin. He's been referred to as Putin's Rasputin. This is kind of a weird thing to try to say. Putin's Rasputin. He's just a disgusting fascist right-wing POS. He's a big cheerleader for slaughtering innocent Ukrainians. Who, by the way, are innocent. And not Nazis. Ukro-Nazis! Hey! Dugin and his daughter Daria, I guess they were on the road. And Daria Dugin, 29 years old, was driving Alexander Dugin's car, and she got in and, I don't know, turned it, pressed the button on the ignition. Probably some highfalutin sports car kind of, old Russian oligarchs being oligarchs and all. And cargo boom. For fans of The Godfather, it was kind of like Apollonia in Michael's. Yeah. She was driving on a highway outside Moscow when the cargo boom Pudi sent a sympathy note. As journalist, scientist, philosopher, and war correspondent, she served people and country with sincerity, illustrating through her actions what being Russian patriot means. In other words, he liked her because she was into slaughtering Ukrainians. The bomb was probably aimed at Alexander Dugin. Back in 2017, Alexander Dugin, interviewed by CBS, said, "I am supporter of Putin, so I'm transmitting the will of our conservative society of Russian identity. I am not formulating this individually." It was a Toyota Land Cruiser. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut. Those things are extremely expensive. Naturally, Mother Russia has blamed the security services of Ukraine. Naturally, without a shred of freaking evidence to support it. But I'm sure someone who's still on the payroll at RTV will claim otherwise. And it'll be used as another reason to commit war crimes in Ukraine. And in fact, Ukraine has suspended or postponed its Independence Day celebration because they figured that if they have one, Putin will get his war crimes on again and slaughter some civilians by rocketing any celebrations they have. And of course, Daria Dugin, you know, was daddy's little girl. And she has worked extensively with the aforementioned RT, Russia Today, and Tsargrad. She's also been under U.S. sanctions since the beginning of March. And naturally, some of her final words before her go-boom were to inveigh against racism in human rights and the homosexuality and Ukraine winning means we will have dangerous Western totalitarianism. Well, whoever did it, there's blood on their hands. But there's a whole lot more. There was a whole lot more blood on Daria Dugin's hands. And Alexander Dugin's. And, of course, Pootie's. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Frank. We are now down to 1775. Wait. 1765. Thank you. Things are rather desperate around here, and everything we can do to bring down the number is huge, because there are bills that simply will not wait. By Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, if we don't do this, there'll be no program. If we do manage it, there will be. If we don't, there won't. Sorry. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much. Jeremy says, "Now, if only we had sourced some of the new flying razor blades with Russian metal and dropped one on her, and we could name her Hacksaw Daria Dugin." Oh, God, really? Really? Really, Jeremy? Daria Dugin, she's the bomb. Well, no. I should probably stop while I'm behind. Think about this, Stephen New York says, you were right in saying that this is just a money-raising grift. So that first paragraph about him being the front runner, and of course he's the victim because Trump is the victim because Biden and the Democrats are so afraid of him, is about him raising money. Then when the court bounces it, which it will, you will hear about it being proof of the judiciary Biden Democrat deep state conspiracy. He'll seek more money. I keep wondering this. If Trump really is a billionaire who has a mansion and a yacht, my name is Elma J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Yeah, I may be a squooey wabbit, but at least I ain't going to Alcatraz. Yeah, you got to do the whole bit at that point. Why do the MAGAtistas keep sending him money? I know. What does God need with a starship? It's a fair question. And you get the idea that he is, I mean, granted, he's got a lot of time on his hands. And he plays a lot of golf. And he burbles things that get put onto posts on that failing media platform of his. Which, by the way, and this is kind of hilarious. According to CNBC... there's an outfit called the Digital World Acquisition Corp. And it, in turn, is a special purpose acquisition company. I get so easily lost in all of this stuff. And they had to make certain information public in a filing, a securities filing today. Now, Digital World Acquisition Corp. is the company tasked with taking Truth Social public. You know, trade on the stock market, that kind of thing. Buy, 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 sell, 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 hold. Well, there was a tasty little tidbit inside the securities filing that read as follows. If President Trump becomes less popular, or there are further controversies that damage his credibility, or the desire of people to use a platform associated with him, and from which he will derive financial benefit, TMTG's results of operations, as well as the outcome of the proposed business combination, could be adversely affected. It could be adversely affected, as Wall Street speak, for we'll float like a carp in a polluted river, belly up, baby. But they weren't done. Our failure to obtain any required regulatory approvals in connection with the business combination, or to resolve certain ongoing investigations within the requisite time period, it may require us to liquidate. And the TMTG was the Trump Media and Technology Group. They were supposed to complete the merger by September the 6th, the business combination. But now they're desperately scrambling and trying to put off that deadline, push it out a year. So, in other words, that's about as clear as something an SEC filing can get. Y'all, we want to make a public offering on this dog, but anybody who puts a dime into it needs to understand they're probably never going to see it again and would be much better off standing at a three-card Monte table, down an alley somewhere. Once again, nitwit, this is the social media equivalent of Trump vodka, Trump steaks, meat through the mail, y'all, and of course Trump University. And it's one scam after another, trying to hustle money out of the rubes. I get all of the nitwit Nero pitches.
And I saw one this weekend. And there was something about the subject line, and don't
make me pull this car over.
In this case, it was Nitwit Nero saying,
"I'm only going to do this one time,"
which means he's done it a dozen times before, and he'll do it 1,000 times after. But you never know which simpleton's going to see that and go, "Marvelaine, he's only going to do this one time. This is our only chance." And like I said, he's got time on his hands. He only plays so much golf. And well, today it was about lashing out, or not. The latest is about lashing out at Moscow Mitch and Mrs. Moscow Mitch, Elaine, former labor secretary, former transportation secretary, grafty, grifty, yeah. So we talked about the fact that Moscow Mitch said that,
we might not be able to take control of the Senate because, you know, the statewide races, they're not like House races, the statewide races, and some of it has to do with candidate quality,
which Nitwit Nero took personally, because that candidate quality is with regard to people he personally endorsed to run for Senate, like Dr. Crudité Oz and Yale hillbilly J.D. Vance and Herschel, don't we have enough trees, Walker? So he took to his media platform, which is apparently not worth anything. At least that's what the company said. And said, so,
why do Republican senators allow a broken down hack politician, Mitch McConnell, to openly disparage hard-working Republican candidates for the United States Senate?
I think that's probably the first time Moscow Mitch or Dr. Crudité or J.D. Hillbilly or Herschel have ever been referred to as hard-working.
Openly disparage hard-working Republican candidates for the United States Senate. This is such an affront to honor and to leadership. He should spend more time and money helping them get elected and less time helping his crazy wife and family get rich on China. China.
I hope it doesn't hurt too little. But in turn, Moscow Mitch... And by the way,
Crazy Elaine Chao. His crazy wife.
Now, she's a horrible person. I mean, really, really a terrible, bad, no good, very bad attempt at a human being, Elaine Chao. But there's nothing out there to suggest that she's crazy, but somehow or another, any time that Nitwit Nero is criticizing a woman, she's crazy. And kind of makes it, you know, he's referred to Daddy's Little Deferment, Dick Cheney, or Liz Cheney, as
Crazy Liz Cheney, Crazy Nancy Pelosi, Crazy Hillary.
Because I think at the end of the day, he doesn't like women very much. Oh, I did forget one. It's still a going concern, though, isn't it? Ron and Raleigh says, you forgot Trump wine, once described as Welch's grape juice with grain alcohol. I think they're still making that over in Virginia, aren't they? Old Virginia? Pretty sure. Emilio says, come on, Trough Social can't be underperforming. Oh, but it is. If I felt like I had any time to troll at all, I'd set up a troll account over there and just go wild. But why waste my beautiful mind on that, right? But I guess Moscow Mitch has gotten some grief over his remarks in Florence, Kentucky. David Morgan reporting for Reuters that now Moscow Mitch is saying that
I think we got a 50-50 chance of taking control of the Senate. Well, flipping the Senate, what are the chances? It's a 50-50 proposition. We got a 50-50 Senate right now. We got a 50-50 nation. And I think the outcome is likely to be very, very close either way. If both the House and the Senate flip, I think the president will be a moderate. He won't have any choice. And so we'll try to find ways to make some progress for the country during the last 2 years of his term, but not big dramatic change. And I won't make sure that he's only three-fifths of a president like I did with Barack Obama, Hussein Obama.
Here's the thing. We are not a 50-50 country. We're nowhere near it. Something around 80% of Americans desperately wanted, women's reproductive rights to remain in place. There's a deep and broad desire for this country to get better, not worse. The only reason there's a 50-50 Senate is because the Senate is constituted in an absolutely undemocratic fashion. Because the representation is not proportional. The fact that Wyoming, who only has one, you know, the House of Representatives is proportional. So Wyoming gets one member of the House of Representatives, who will probably be Harriet Hagrid. Technically speaking, I don't think Wyoming even has as much population as, say, a standard House district in a populous state. But they have two senators. They have two horrible senators. And that is because the Senate is designed to be undemocratic. Millions more people are represented by the 50 Democratic senators than are represented by the 50 Republican senators. Millions more. Tens of millions more. And we need to bear that in mind. People like Moscow Mitch like to they like to offer up the fraudulent pretense that this country is divided neatly down the middle between red and blue, Republican and Democrat. But it simply is not. This is a country that wants better, and when you when you ask the questions the right way, you find that out. The wine business still a going concern. That Ron and Raleigh says, yeah, it's being run by Eric Trump, that noted wine commensoor. Yeah, he's a commensoor of wine. Well, just You know, when the wine you produce at your winery is at least one star behind the ratings for Mad Dog 2020 and Thunderbird and Annie Green Springs and Boone's Farm, yeah, no. Thank you. Thank you so much to Mary Bell. Hey, Mary Bell, thank you a ton for jumping in. That gets us down to 1740. And thank you to Sharon. You've gotten us down below 1700. We're down to 1690. 1690. So let's see. Taken together, we funded. That's another full day. We've gone down to, because we were at 19, and we came down to 18, thanks, over the weekend. And so, down to 17. It's almost an entire show funded from back during the, first week of August, and it's the 22nd. So what is that all told? 1,769. Six broadcast. Well, we've got, if we could do $190, that we would be down to five broadcast days. And this really is, I wouldn't say it's urgent if it wasn't urgent. It is urgent. I would like nothing better than to be able to pay these bills this evening after the program and come back tomorrow and say, well, at least that monkey's off our back. We've got some breathing room. That would be wonderful. Going back to Moscow Mitch, though.
If both the House and the Senate flip, I think the president will be a moderate.
When has Joe Biden never been anything... Did I say never? Ever been anything but a moderate?
Oh, he's the most liberal. God damn it. He's more liberal than Ted Kennedy.
Maybe we're at a point where that no longer works. There's just not enough people who remember who Ted Kennedy was. But it's not like Joe Biden is some sort of... to the barricades, you have nothing to lose but your chains... leftist. Well, that's absolutely true. A few minutes ago, our buddy Todd said, appeasement of the fascist South has been a legendary part of our downfall as a nation. Yeah, it's baked in. It's baked into the Constitution itself. There's no getting around. It's not hating America to point that out. They had to be dragged along because everything that they stood for from the very beginning was toxic to actual ideas of liberty and independence. But we couldn't do anything without them. Because you can't have a revolution inside a revolution. I mean, that's why the Declaration of Independence got edited so brutally. And pushing back against the big lie, which is, wow, how about that? Moscow Mitch went on to talk about election fraud.
Election fraud, there is some. It happens occasionally. But our democracy is solid. And of the things we need to worry about, I wouldn't be worrying about that one.
And you know what? As a Republican, he's telling the truth. Republicans don't have to worry about voter fraud. When they commit it, they aren't prosecuted for it. And they don't stand in long lines to vote. And they don't have problems at the ballot box, at the polling places. They have plenty of machines, plenty of means of casting their vote. And nobody threatens them to keep them away from the polls. That cannot be said of the people who tend to vote for Democratic candidates. Isn't it interesting every time an election rolls around? And they parrot the multimillionaire for-profit media that parachutes the reporters in. They go to find the long lines in neighborhoods in Miami, Atlanta, Louisville, Birmingham, New Orleans. You never see reporting of long lines from suburban Columbus. You never see long lines reported from lily white suburbs of, you know, Boise, Idaho. Oh, no. And of course, Reuters does its job and of making sure that the House race is a self-proving prophecy, self-fulfilling prophecy. While the Republican Party is still favored to win a majority in the House, its prospects for flipping the Senate have been dimmed by lackluster performances among first-time Republican candidates in swing states, including Arizona, Georgia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Okay. While the party is still favored to win a majority in the House. By whom? As to long lines, Steve in New York says, I'm pretty sure I never saw a long line with people toasting each other with mint juleps while wearing seersucker suits and bolo ties. Yeah, no, that's... come on in, vote, why don't you? Yeah, want to vote twice? Yeah, you go right ahead, Cletus. Funny how that always works. Yeah. And so as we approach the third hour of the program, we've got $1,690 to go in fundraising. It is what it is. And hopefully everybody who's jumped in this evening will get a lot more company in the third hour of the program. In the meantime, let's go over and, let's check in with Todd. Todd, how are you?
Hey there, how's it going, Lee?
I'm just happy to be home. It was nice to get out on the road. I had great traveling weather, but there's nothing quite like sleeping in your own bed again.
Sounds good to me. They have some clips of the Netroots Nation in Pittsburgh on C-SPAN's website.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, so folks are curious, they have a wonderful search engine, and you can pull up Netroots Nation Pittsburgh, and it will most likely come up. So just wanted to put that out there. I'm just here with these mosquitoes that have other creatures' blood in them, because every time I slap one, I'm wondering whose blood that is.
Or what's blood that is.
What? and we got critters here.
They're not particularly choosy.
They dine on just about anything. And apparently there's more and more.
Well, I've heard mosquito commensurs talking about, because if you listen, that it's actually words, and they're talking about it. You know, do we want cat tonight? No, me either. No, I think I want some Todd.
Yo, Soylent Green is real. That's all I can say. So that's the end point. So you know something happens in between. Oh, God. Why'd you have to go there? Seriously? Well, I started it.
Hang that on me.
Ron, man, good grief. Man, you need to go to Domino's, man. This is what I don't understand. That's what made me call in. When you started talking about voter fraud, most times, I'd say 8 out of 10 times, it's a GOP person. stuffing ballot boxes, owning, and they do this. They're serial. In other words, we talked about this before, but just like, in fact, the reason it came up is because of, the advisor. Now I'm drawing a blank. He had a home in North Carolina, Mark Meadows, right? You never heard.
Yeah, that's Reverend Mark Meadows to you, Buster.
Reverend. Okay, so he's a member of the clergy, which is even worse. So, but they all do that because I hear them talk about it. You know, because Florida's a big place to have a house because they have no income tax. You know, so you write, you know, certain insurance, certain things you carry your bills out of Florida because you don't pay any tax. Your car insurance and house notes, stuff like that. Because they're around here. I mean, I can't blame them. They just work the system. Those are the rules, you know. And if you know how to work the rules, work the rules. That's why they go to these cocktail parties and have these little societal cliques, because they get the insight on the tax breaks. I mean, that's one reason. Of course, that's a tangent. But, you know, like you said, they never get in trouble. And here we have the Democratic voting people, man, a poor woman or somebody just get out of prison. Oh, 5 years, hard time, boom.
Yeah. Let
that sink in. What the fuck?
I know. And that's kind of the mild end of the I got some other Republican candidates out here that will. I mean, we're past being shocked, right? We are no longer shocked.
Mm-mm.
But we do still maintain a healthy sense of disgust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me introduce you to 56-year-old Scott Esk, running for a seat in the Oklahoma House of Representatives. They have a runoff in Oklahoma stand tomorrow. And some people have been digging around in the things that Mark Esk has been saying in the last few years. And so back in 2013, in order to get the favor of the Bible humpers, he quoted a Bible verse, and we all probably know what it is. He said, "You know, we'd be totally in the right if we executed gay people for being gay, for gaying and all." Not to put too fine a point on it, but this really is how the you-know-whos rose to power and you-know-where in 1930 when.
But you're not supposed to talk about that.
He went on to say in his little book, "Ignoring as a nation things that are worthy of death is very remiss." And so back then a journalist about 2014 said, "You sure about that?" And he says, "Totally just to execute. What I'll tell you right now is that it was done in the Old Testament under a law that came direct from God. And in that time it was totally just, came directly from God." But then he tried to Christian it up a little bit, Todd, and he said, "You know, I have compassion on anybody in the grips of an insidious addiction such as homosexuality. Any Christian should be in the position to say that this is sin or this is good. If we don't make that distinction, we're not going to hit people." But he's being persecuted. "They done a hit piece on the fact that I had an opinion against homosexuality. But does that make me a homophobe? Maybe some people think it does. But as far as I and many of the people, the voters of House District A7 are concerned, it simply makes me a Christian. Christians believe in biblical morality, the kind of, by definition, or they should. The fact is, it's much more offensive knowing what obscene things homosexuals do with each other than it is, you know, like going to lunch. Than it is for somebody to hold the view that is indecent."
Sister Robin.
Yes, Brother Todd.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now, it appealed to me. Most of them times you don't see these old people in the cloth.
they's the ones who doing all this type of behavior, using intimidating on, talking about the written on another man, using drugs off of another man's buttocks.
The Botox.
The Botox on the Lord have mercy. And I just, that don't square around. That's not a round square to me. That just don't seem right.
No, it don't. And you know what? I'm betting Brother Esk don't want nobody finding his browser history. There he is, late at night in his den there in his Christian household, going, "Woo, he's a big one." Shame on me. That kind of sexual snark gets me in trouble.
It's humor. No. Look, Rush Limbaugh could call a normal young woman's behavior. You know, like many other young women called her a slut for just, you know, my God. Okay, so in other words, when you were, I forgot he's a college dropout. He couldn't make it. I'm still, he's not a good example. Rush Limbaugh I'm talking about. He couldn't cut the mustard. He couldn't persevere. Because, frankly, you get through the first 2 years, unless you're a total idiot, it ain't that hard. But let me back up. How pathetic. You know, these people are just, they cannot stop.
I know. And you know, Steve in New York said, subject line, what the Homer sectionals do with each other. And Steve said, don't tell anyone, but my partner and I went out to dinner a few times and went shopping at some outlet stores in Canada. That's disgusting, Steve. Disgusting.
This is before dinner time. Have you no shame? Stifle it, would you, huh?
But God, they do. They grow them weird.
They grow.
I mean, that's just one.
Just one.
There's another dude. You're going to love this. There's another dude in Florida, and he got bounced from Twitter. Okay, he's a candidate for the House of Representatives in Florida, and he got bounced from Twitter. I keep emphasizing that because he's still on other social media platforms because they're like, what? His name is Luis Miguel. And he's running in Florida House District 20. And he has a plan. And if he makes it to the legislature, he's going to introduce it as a bill. Care to guess?
Well, it's so much.
There's too many to choose from. Well, the bill that Luis Miguel is going to introduce in Florida would allow any Florida citizen, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican citizen, any Florida citizen could shoot on sight any member of the FBI, the ATF, Treasury, any of them. Shoot on sight.
Wait a minute. Wait. Now, how high up in the political infrastructure is this individual? He's not like a state representative or anything, right?
He's running to be one.
That fucker might win. Talking shit like that's mm-hmm. crazy.
NBC News reached out to him, and he, when the poet said, When somebody tells you who they are, believe them the first time. He said,
yep.
Under my plan, all Floridians will have permission to shoot FBI, IRS, ATF, and all other feds on site. Let freedom ring.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is not a snapper, Todd. This isn't what what Scott in San Diego calls the elephant story. This isn't the haw-haw-haw, look at the crazy Republican. No, this fucker is deadly in earnest, and he and there are millions of Americans who are like, hell yeah.
See, what you just said, that's what concerns me, because honestly, like, I would, you could do a whole program on that one little item there. Because if we dissect that like you diagram a sentence, let's say diagram a compound sentence, let's say that, that's more than frightening. Because look how many elements of buffoonery and other things are in that. Okay. So, in other words, just forget about the government. You don't respect law and order unless it's your law and order. I mean, we understand the FBI has a checkered history. You know, that's what we have. But we that's why we have hearings, and you know, we strive to improve, and we have oversight. And because that's fucked up. Okay, so what I'm trying to say, I need to distill it down. I'm too wordy with this. This is that iceberg shit. If that's the tip of the iceberg, like you just said, there's
right. If that's what's sticking up above the water,
right? How does somebody talking that kind of stupid, crazy shit even get to the point? There's no mechanism, a trigger mechanism, you know, legislative. You say, oh, you're just too fucking crazy. Sorry.
Well, but wait, there's more. It's always a Ginsu commercial with these fuckers. NBC, he kept talking with NBC News, and he said, I am in no way advocating any kind of vigilante, extrajudicial, illegal, or other form of violence against federal officers.
That's what he just said, though. Fuck that. That's what the
motherfucker
said.
Yeah, but he said, there's legislation being planned that says that federal agencies have to have permission from Florida to operate in the state, and people could protect themselves against threats to their lives or property.
Okay. Because, see, they didn't think this through, obviously. So what happens when you get a naturalized citizen, let's say with the last name Mendez, who has a nice-sized compound somewhere in southern Florida with his own airstrip, his little connections with certain cartels. And he's like, oh, no, federales. No, it's no federales, USA. Oh, no, we can shoot them.
Yeah, or, you know, walks around the compound saying things like, say hello to my little friend.
Yeah.
But wait, take a minute with that, because the original idea, and let's take this maggot at his word, the original idea is that Florida, somebody else, some other maggot in the Florida legislature, Todd, is going to file a bill that says that the DOJ, the ATF, the IRS, the Treasury Department, who the hell ever, has to file a Mother May I request to operate in the state of Florida. Take a minute with that. This is more nullification. This is some serious Confederacy shit. We're back to 1855 again.
Mm-mm-mm.
And too many Americans don't understand that.
They're going to codify.
Core nullification.
Yep. You know, that was a very good observation right there.
If we don't like what the federal government does, the state legislature has the right to nullify the will of the people of the United States acting as the federal government. I mean, a bill like that would effectively render useless the DOJ or the FBI or the ATF.
And you know what's coming next, because then what will happen is that the federal government will have to submit the whole framework, their path to prosecuting someone, which will then be leaked to the alleged perpetrator. But, you know, in other words, you got to ask entrance in. Well, you can't come in here with that. You had no standing here. You know,
it's a denial of the entirety of federalism.
Well, that's where we are. I mean, this has been brewing. You know, people have been hating D.C. for, you know, quite some time. But now with the Internet and.
I mean, what do these fuckers want? I'm sorry, I wasn't throwing around a lot of F-bombs until now. What do they want?
You were such a polite lady.
I'm trying.
You go to tea parties and shit.
Finger sandwiches. It's all about the finger sandwiches. I personally am not fond of eating fingers, but apparently, I don't know, it's a thing.
You don't like? I thought you liked to eat meat rare.
Yeah, well, I'm wings, not fingers, but. Let's say the feds want to move in. This bill passes the Florida legislature. Governor Ron Monkey up signs it into law, and the feds raid, let's say, the compound of a drug kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
So. Is the Florida state, or more likely some Florida constitutional sheriff, are they going to go there and line up alongside the cartel dude and blaze it and shoot it out with the federales? I mean, what? I'm not trying to be a jerk about what. Do these maggots want? What do they want in the way of a country? I mean, they've brayed and they've babbled and they've burbled for decades and a generation or two about, you know, we want small government conservatism. What do they want, Todd? Help me here.
They just want what they want when they want it. And when it doesn't suit their needs and their perspective, they don't want it, even if it's what they want, because you cannot. In other words, they're opening themselves up to local lawsuits, which will bankrupt their communities once it filters up through the courts. Because someone's going to just say exactly what you said. OK, well, this case, you want federal help and interdiction because you don't like them immigrants, right? Oh, hell no. You don't want them brown people coming over. That's the federal government. I mean, they didn't think this logic is not their forte. They're all about emotion. They don't think shit through. It took me 2 seconds to blow a big asshole on that fucking argument.
I think of that story coming out of Atlanta from years and years and years ago, where a granny, who was a badass granny, was sitting in her apartment in Atlanta, minding her own business. Cops get the wrong address, come barreling through her door, and Granny doesn't know it's the cops. It's a fucking no-knock warrant. So she fires a round at them, and the cops waste the hell out of Granny. Oops. Well, she shot at us. Officers were under fire. Or how about something a little more modern? How about Breonna Taylor? You know, the whole reason they murdered her in her sleep is because her boyfriend was still awake and somebody came through the door on a no-knock warrant and he exercised his Second Amendment freedom rights. And so they wasted the shit out of Breonna Taylor in her sleep.
And endangered the neighbors because, you know, drywall and such.
Oh, but in both those cases, those are state cops.
See, this is not.
It wasn't the jackbooted feds.
You know, you asked the right question. What do they want? because this can't go on with this little Mickey Mouse bullshit here and there. This stupid. All right. You like, this is who we are, though. This is the first thing we have to come to terms with. When you look at Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is serving the American public. That is who a portion of America wants to see represent them. So that's where we have to start. See, they call us egghead, erudite. You know, we're out of touch with real people and all this nonsense. Or not nonsense, in their mind. So, do you see where I'm going with this?
I do.
Now, how do you fix folks who think they're perfect?
Keep going.
I'm just saying they've been anointed by the God Jesus Christ, and what they do is Christian most times. Okay, and they're doing it because they feel strongly about something, and it's just, you know, that they're trying to preserve what they perceive as their way of life. And if you just look at this Trump phenomena. You know, more things are coming out now, not just the January 6th report, but now we find out, of course, that Mueller didn't sign off on what Barr did, and Barr is getting scolded because that little bullshit, we all knew that was bullshit, but, you know, now it's being recognized as official bullshit, what he did. So when you hear these people talk about, well, there was no connection, Mueller didn't find anything, you know, now you can just hold that up in front of their face. But it doesn't matter. That's the problem now. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is, in their mind, this is their country. They have guns. And a lot of them have a lot of property and a lot of money. And they're used to getting their way. And a lot of these folks are in, you know, we talked about this last year. You know, they're embedded in every part of our society. The military, government, our House, our Senate. How do you think they got in that deep? You know, come on. So I think we need to have an honest discussion, like, what type of country do we want? Because if they want to go, they can go to Brazil. They need to go to that little Confederate colony. I talked with someone 2 days
ago. Oh, by the way, they just had their festival recently celebrating their Confederate heritage down there.
Ain't that some shit? And apparently a lot of Americans don't even know what I'm talking about. You know.
Flavio does.
Well, I know Flavio does. And of course he does. That fucker eats meat raw. I'm just kidding. Love you, Flavio. Your command of languages is...
Wait, you got a problem with beef tartare? You got a problem with beef tartare? I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
I don't know. I don't, but I'm saying when I went to that Brazilian place in Myrtle Beach, man, it was just... I just stuck with the lamb. I said, don't come back until you have lamb. I mean, you got to burn up. It ain't worth your money unless you burn up in the parking lot and really get your appetite going, because it's just so much food. Those fuckers just, they grew up taking bites out of running cows and shit.
Wait. They grew up taking bites out of running cows?
That's why they eat meat, man. Come on, that ain't, that skewer, that's just perfunctory. They don't eat that. They got them sharp-ass teeth. Shoot. They look like that little voodoo doll on a that Night Gallery episode where the chain fell off the doll's head.
Oh, Jesus, Todd, they're not chupacabras, for fuck's sake.
Well, they behave as such. Oh, God. Oh,
I forget if Bourdain was in Brazil or Argentina, but he went to a, you know, he went to a big outdoor barbecue, and it's like, you know, this huge line of fire, and there must have been 50... this is just going to drive the vegetarians crazy. I'm sorry. There were like 50 cows that had been slaughtered that morning, and they were all just crucified, kind of leaning over the fires. And I'm like, looks good to me.
But I'll be honest with you, I always wanted a lamb like that, you know, with the rosemary and sage. Like, if you've ever been out west, the sage just grows wild, and you burn it.
Oh, Bourdain did that on Crete.
Really?
Yes, very much so.
I'm going to do that with some friends before I die. Just get, like, a lamb or a goat and smoke it.
I favor goat, personally, but I'm funny.
No, I'm serious.
I think goat's delicious.
You do it right, you know. If you think about what a lamb is, it's kind of gross. But, man, lamb, rosemary, you put the rosemary, garlic, sage, thyme, oil. That's some good eating.
Yeah, but see, I don't know if I could ever do it now because just not far down the road, I got some neighbors who are goats. No, I mean, they live there, and they gamble in the yard, and if you walk up to the fence, they come up and say hi, and they're adorable. I'm like, oh, no, I could never eat you. I'm sorry.
They are kind of neat. They have those weird eyes. And they mow your grass for you.
I need some goats.
You need to save you some work. You know, if you get a male and a female.
No, because it'd break my heart when the next door Rottweilers come kill them.
Oh, they let them loose?
Yeah, they run my skinny white ass back in the door a couple of times.
Are these the ones that do the coal burn? That has the
same.
I know.
And the devil's diaper.
Oh, hit this ball quick. God. Ah, that's messed up. You can't win. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. They just redneck is a motherfucker. Oh,
it's the whole bingo card. Diesel pickup truck that belches black smoke. I mean.
Oh. Have these trucks with the low back end and the high front end, have they gotten around your area yet?
Not yet. No. No. Wait, what?
Man, that's the thing around here. They take a perfectly good vehicle, like a Tahoe. Or, let's say a Tahoe. And they put the fat tires on and drop the back end, and the front end is way up high. Where I don't even know how to drive. You can't see what's in front of you. You gotta like have a memory bank. Gotta have some RAM.
I mean, can you even take that out on the highway and do 65 miles an hour?
Well, in this state, you can do anything you want with a vehicle. Nobody cares until you wreck. There's no inspection, no emission test, no checking to see if your brakes are okay. There's none of that.
Freedom!
Freedom. And you see it every morning on the interstate, on these live cameras. It's like, oh, four, matter of fact, 2 days ago, four tractor trailers smashed up on this little two-lane road.
See, that's the thing, because probably about mid-September, I have to go to Atlanta.
Uh-oh.
And my primary impulse is, hey, I'd rather drive because trans girl, not happy, you know, the airlines, you know, I mean, all my documentation's correct and everything, but I don't want to be pulled out of line and, you have masculine elbows. I don't want that shit. Because takes is one asshole TSA agent. And the thing is that to fly from Charleston to Atlanta is a 50-minute flight. It is an 8-hour drive. And, you know, when we were driving to Alabama.
It's only an hour? An hour?
50 minutes from Charleston to Atlanta, yes.
Good God.
I mean, you level off at 30,000 for about 2 minutes, and then you start your descent.
Dude, wow.
but it's TSA and it's flying into a stand state. I mean, I'm in a stand state. Something could go sideways here.
Robin, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Investigate having a friend or somebody take you over to the Amtrak in Charleston and take the train.
To Atlanta?
Apartment. Well, it's going to take a while, but you can stretch out.
Hold on. How do you define take a while?
Well, that's probably going to take, I'd say, 10 hours. Yeah, but what you want to do is
No, Todd,
it's
please. I would get on the Cardinal. I wouldn't get on at Charleston. I'd get on at Prince. It's cool. We got a train station named Prince. One of these days, I'm hoping they'll put the symbol up on the building. You know, the eye with the. But I'd get on at Prince and go to Charlottesville. And then I would have to change trains, which might or might not be there in the next day or so. And from there to Atlanta. No, that's not going to happen.
That's a non-sequitur. Okay.
But the other part of it, though, is that driving from here to Atlanta sends me through, well, it doesn't have to. But it can send me through South Carolina. And the last time I drove through there, Annette and I both had a case of the seriously white knuckles.
Oh, that part, you're going through Hillbillyville, like Moonshineville, upstate, like Spartanburg, Greenville.
Oh, yeah.
And you come down. And
it's like, yeah, lanes optional, blinkers optional.
Oh, that,
if you ain't
yeah.
rubbing, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
There's that. There's a whole lot. Oh, yeah. Shoot, I got pulled over my driveway yesterday, 2 days ago. I didn't even see them. They were coming up. It was my fault, but that's not why they pulled me over.
What'd you do?
I did a California roll, like everybody else does it.
No, you California stopped while black, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, usually I have zero tickets. So usually I'm a very good driver. Usually, and he gave me a warning, you know, but that wasn't why he stopped me, because this wasn't even a traffic cop. He gave me his card, and I was like, man, just because of the neighborhood I live in, he wants me to talk. I'm like, I brought the tickets. I don't know what this is. I'm not the one for that. Even if you paid me, I wouldn't do it.
We need to offer some sympathy to Ron and Raleigh. He said they just shut down our Brazilian steakhouse because the landlord wouldn't renew the lease. Damn it.
Why not? Those places are packed, man. People, you got to wait in line to go eat all that meat like that. And they have all that good lobster on the side. It's just so much to eat. Oof. Those are those Brazilian places.
Oh, I missed Fogo de Chão. Of course, I haven't been to D.C. in forever, but, you know, I'll one of those in Atlanta, maybe while I'm there. I don't know. Get an Uber. I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you. Thank you to Don in British Columbia. Thank you, Don. Don just got us down to 1640. Another $140, and we will be done with a full day of broadcasting from like 2 weeks ago.
Come on, people. We can do this.
It would be great. Thank you, at this point, there's three bills, and they're all just like right on top of me, and they're eating my soul and maybe destroying this network. But I wanted to, you know, we had Steve Esk there in Oklahoma, Stan. Apparently it is a race in Oklahoma. I mean, there's more in Monday. So let me introduce you to Jaron Jackson. Now he shows up in campaign ads wearing his Liberty overalls and his brown shirt. Oh, really? And he got him a big old fuzzy beard, and he wears him a camo ball cap, and stands in front of Merkin flags and urine-colored snake flags. And he is running for the state senate of Oklahoma, Stan. And he went on social media to make sure that everybody understood where he stood. 36 years old. Of course, he's a retired combat veteran. Wonder where he learned all that hate. He owns a bullet store. The newspaper, The Oklahoman, calls it an ammunition business. To me, that's a bullet store. And he's in the primary tomorrow in Senate District 2. That's just northeast of Tulsa. And he's facing a woman named Allie Seyfried. She used to be an executive assistant to another state senator, and she's an account manager at a Tulsa company that, and this is an interesting phrase, creates custom history books. Oh, we're going to get to the history books in a minute. So he actually was the biggest vote getter in the June primary. He got 34% of Republican votes. Ms. Seyfried came in with 32% of the vote. And Jaron Jackson says, I'm running to defend Oklahomans against further communist infiltration. Todd, did you know there was communist infiltration in Oklahoma, Stan?
Do tell.
And when he goes on Telegram, he calls himself a Bible-believing Christian Constitution-defending patriotic Trump supporter. And then he went on to say that if you say LGBTQ, you're using language designed by Satan. LGBTQ is the gateway to pedophilia. Yeah. And he referred to Pride Month as Fornication Month, celebrating all sorts of sexual depravity and the destruction of our society. And he went on to talk about gay people gaying. And he said, it's the most disgusting, despicable, stupid, blech thing ever. Insert barf emoji. And yet we're supposed to celebrate this and supposed to treat it like it's normal?
Wait a minute. He didn't have to celebrate. He didn't have to do shit, but go.
No. You know how it is with the gay agenda. They showed up with an AR-15 and they pointed it at his head and said, "Here, put on these leather chaps and this leather harness and here, don't forget the gimp hood." Well, all right. But that wasn't all. Back in January, he also said, it's all part of a greater package, Todd. He said, all Jews will go to hell if they don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like everybody else. I love Jews because Christ told me to, not because they deserve it.
That makes it okay.
And then he doubled down in February and said, outline and detail the evil. Amen. The Jews, Illuminati, COVID shots kill. Rothschilds, communists, woke pastors, social gospel. Christ will chuck a bunch of stuff in the fire.
How does he know that he's not the one going in the fire? That's what I don't do.
Well, how does he think he actually understands the message of a guy who's a semi-literate itinerant rabbi who said, hey, why don't y'all quit shitting on each other?
Well, that's what I don't understand. These people, but they don't want to, I don't know, they're like Trump when it comes to that. Their minds will not open to what they know is true. That Jesus did hang with the ne'er-do-wells, what we call ne'er-do-wells and the skid row folks. I mean, that's just, I mean, if you read the scripture, that's just a fact. He was with the less than.
He wasn't hanging out in the fucking palace and shit, giving free shit. He was begging for shit.
Yeah.
He was a fucking beggar. I mean, how hard
and,
is that?
And, you know, hanging out with 12 unmarried guys.
Yeah. And
in a culture where guys got married about 14.
Yeah, like, you ain't married yet. You 25. You pert near dead. You know, shit. I don't know. These people, man. Anyway, people believe what they want to believe. And if it ain't what they want to believe, then they don't believe it.
I don't
give a fuck.
Oh, I know. What I found most humorous out of the story of Jaren Jackson, though, is the fact that he's still on social media. And so the Oklahoman reached out to the Oklahoma Republican Party chairman, A.J. Ferrate, F-E-R-A-T-E. Mm-hmm. And A.J. said, well, I don't want to make any presumptions about Jaren, but this is the ultimate Republican CYA. Any sort of anti-Semitism that may exist within the Republican Party has no place within the Republican Party, and I will not tolerate it unless he wins. Oh, wait. No, I added the unless he wins part.
That's what he meant, though.
Yeah.
That's what he meant. Let me say this. I think we could all work on our urge to be judgmental. It's a daily struggle because it's easy to be judgmental. But think twice when you, just think twice because it's so easy. It's so easy to be base. But we should all strive to be better people the next day. And the world might be a better place if we all at least try to do that. Just try.
Well, just to give you a better idea of who Jaren Jackson is, because, I mean, this guy's a gift that keeps on giving. he kind of went viral with a video back in March when he took his printer, his computer printer, you know, like my little HP over here, took his computer outside and shot it dead, killed it. Fill it full of lead, blew it away, and then said, I just shot a Dominion voting machine.
That's stupid fucking. Well, you know, we're just fighting against the stupid.
Yeah, but the stupid have guns and money. They're very nearly a Warren Zevon song. Lawyers, guns, and money.
That's what bothers me.
And just as the song says, the shit has hit the fan.
See? Remember, most of us are average and below. And below is the below part you really got to fucking watch out for. You know, come on. Easy access to guns, pestilence. Lack of respect for science. Don't like teachers anymore. Fuck a professor because they're all liberal and da 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 da. You know, this is, well, anyway, I think, what was that place called? Rome? Well, we got to be on guard, man. I mean, look.
Did you say something about history?
Yeah, that's going to be banned from the schools pretty soon because this just gets in the
odd
way.
You should mention it.
Oh, no. Don't. Oh, see. I'm not going to be. Don't. Are you serious? You are serious.
And it's just. And it's just. Right. And it's just one state north of you.
Oh, God.
And it's the and you know, we've talked about this guy in the past, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, and you know he's from the Jesse Lee Peterson wing of the Republican Party, if you know what I mean. Black and all.
Well,
course.
So, you know, y'all need to do something about him, would you? He has written a book called It's a Memoir. It's a Memoir is what it is, that book he done read. It's a Memoir.
That's a cowbell.
Well, thank you.
It is.
It's called We Are the Majority, The Life and Passions of a Patriot. And, you know, people who have political ambitions, they write books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like anybody asked him a question. He just decided to say this part out loud. Because sometimes, you know, the spirit just comes upon you. And among other things, his goal in North Carolina is to eliminate the State Board of Education. And he wants to end abortion in North Carolina, Stan. And he wants to make sure none of the transes can serve in the military. Now, I have yet to figure out how the governor of North Carolina has the power, is actually running the Pentagon, but I'm sure he's got a plan for that, too. So, in writing his book, you ready for the quote? Got the hockey puck? Test it for me. Okay, you're good. In the book, he writes, and he's talking about first through fifth grade. Okay? And this is a quote from the book. In those grades, we don't need to be teaching social studies. We don't need to be teaching science. We surely don't need to be talking about equity and social justice.
Mm-mm.
Guess what? Most of the people in North Carolina know global warming is junk science.
Oh, please. First through fifth? Mm-hmm. Hey, fifth grade, but it's getting your ass ready to fucking go to college.
And this is a guy who says that gay people are devil-worshipping child molesters. And transgender is mass delusion to turn God's creation into a sickening image of rebellion to glorify Satan. He also says that Michelle Obama's actually a man.
You know what? I have a sneaking suspicion that in what we call biblical times, when folks were walking around with those robes and the heavy eyeshadow, I think there were a lot of people just doing what they felt like they wanted to do or need, you know, felt like being themselves or whatever.
I think this Mark Robinson character is about half a hotep.
That rhymes. A half a hotep. That's a T-shirt.
Because he went on to say, you know that movie Black Panther? That's a Jewish plot to grift money off of black people.
Y'all ain't smart enough to figure it out. Y'all getting played. Talking about Black Panther. You need power. All y'all need to do is get them to go to work right there and see Mr. Charles down there in that plane. And you sure Monday morning you got no job.
Oh my God. The last part. And you show up Monday morning, you ain't got no job.
That's his history.
Well, I'm trying to sort it out here, Todd. If you ain't teaching history nor social studies, what are they gonna read? Bible, gonna read the Bible.
See, that void. You're gonna fill a void with something that don't even have nothing to do with the
Lord. Just like, you know, just like people learn how to read by reading the Bible down on the plantation in the good old days.
And you're gonna see right here on this Bible, you're supposed to be a slave. It's right here on this Bible.
Don't y'all try to run off this here plantation.
I mean, well, you know, sons of Ham and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a porky tail.
It is that.
You know what? We keep moving backwards. Like every week is something that just accelerates the backward movement. And we're always moving backwards, but then it'd be like the turbo boost backwards. And, oh, shit, this motor's fucked up. It's in reverse. Did they think through this abortion thing? They actually want fucking 10-year-old girls to go through an unwanted pregnancy?
Yeah.
I mean, what in the fuck are these people? And so really now, what we all have been, well, no, that's absolute. What some of us have been saying, it's all about, you know, I'm sorry to feel bad that it's not going to be enough white people, but it's just too late for that anyway, number one. Number two, it doesn't matter. The structure, the systems and institutions are in place. That shit's not going to change for another 200 years. So, you know, that's just a bunch of bullshit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We need immigrants. They're not going to do that work. We need them.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, what happens when the big age out comes? I mean, okay, this isn't directly relevant, but you know, I fell in love with Pittsburgh when I was in college eons ago, and I calculated it's like 40 years now. And it's like, wow. Doesn't feel like it. So on my way home, I took a detour because I just like to drive through and see how the old place looks. And when I went to WVU back in the mid-80s, it was a biggish school. I mean, there are 19,000 students. But the place is a behemoth now. I mean, it's huge. Everywhere you turn, they've bulldozed something to put up more student housing.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing.
And, like, you know, down the main drag there, there's at least probably 6 CBD smoke shops.
Hmm. And it looks like the suburbs, I bet. They got the nice, swanky, little low-rise student dorms.
I mean, they were pretty places, yeah. And it just, I mean, you know, not being a cranky old woman or anything, you know, some of the old places are still there. You know, you recognize the buildings and stuff, but I drove up on Tort Flats and saw my old college of law, and, man, they got bougie about that place. It used to be this kind of square, nondescript building, you know, but they decided it needed to be highfalutin, so they put a Greek Revival portico on the side of it. It looks like a dinghy towing a coal barge.
Uh-oh. You know what? I bet they use that for pictures. How much you want to bet? At graduation?
You know they do. I took a selfie standing in front of it with a real big smirk on my face.
Yeah, but... that felt good, though. I mean, back on campus, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. Just for a minute, I was back at school. Oh, no. No, no. No, Dan Fogelberg. We got... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. We're down to 16:15 to go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so, so very much. And I better not... And there will be no singing of Dan Fogelberg, because if we could get down to 100... If we could knock down $115 more, we would have a full show... A full show funded, and long way to go.
People want to know if there are any challenges on the table.
No, no challenges. Okay. Sadly, it's just more in Monday, and trying to get caught up. By the way, a person who wishes to remain nameless wants to extend to you deepest sympathies on the passing of your father.
Wow, I appreciate that. Yeah, I really do.
Everything going all right? You getting everything sorted out and settled away?
Right in the middle of it.
It ain't fun.
It ain't fun at all. I went through about, you know, it's a long, strange trip. And it could be worse, but it could be a lot worse because I could have siblings. And so, but it's still a lot. You know, when I was up there and I'm in my old bedroom, I mean, I picked the paint out. I remember when they let me pick the paint out for my bedroom. And that was just like on top of the world for, I don't know, 6 months probably. Because I could look up and see the paint that I picked for my room and go to sleep. And I'm sleeping in there with my better half, and it's just like,
How old were you when you got to pick the paint out?
6.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, there's some serious Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time in all of that. So do you have to go back and forth very often?
I do. Way too much. I don't have time to work. I mean, I'm not being funny. It's just like, it's bugging me now. I'm like, when you coming up again, I'm like, all right. I mean, come on. You know how much it costs to go back and forth?
Yeah, I do. I've got a pretty good idea.
But, yeah, and everything's almost out, but I've got some nice antiques I need to sell. I told you about the ice box.
Oh, man.
I'm putting that in storage until I get the right. I might just hold, I don't know.
I imagine there's some stuff that's going to be hard to turn loose of.
Yeah, exactly. A lot. And a lot I already had to. And frankly, the house itself, because, I mean, I grew up there. It's in a great place near the train station, right on the edge of the suburb. No litter. I mean, I guess you have to, that's part of, I'm in the next level of life now.
How gentrified is the neighborhood?
Oh, it's bad. I mean, it's people are moving. Well, who wouldn't want to live there? There's no litter. Like I said, it's near the train station. It's right on the edge of Chestnut Hill, which is like super. That's where the judges and lawyers live. You got to stay in the city. And, you know, right on the edge of Montgomery County. Just a row house, but it's stone and slate and brick and no wood. And it'll probably be in the market. I don't know. I'm hoping to sell it within a week. If I was going to be done with it. Because it's painful. Every time I go up there now, it's painful. And the smell of death in the master bedroom. Remember, I was right there when he died. I was right there.
I know. Same with me, both my parents.
Both. Wow, Robin.
So, yeah.
I'm still. Then you never get over. I mean, I don't know. It changed me. It was different.
Oh, they visit me in my dreams. I mean, it's just dreams, but you wake up and you're like, what? And, yeah. Well, by the way, thank you. We are down anonymously to $1,590. And our dear friend Ralph says, I got 10 more bucks if somebody's got 10 more bucks, and that would get us down to $1,570. We're trying to keep this program on the air. Thank you, Ralph. And Jude sent her along a note. My deepest of compassion for the loss of Todd's father. I'd been away for some time and missed hearing of his loss, yet Kevin did let me know. Do take care, you both, Robin and Todd, as your friends, if only from a distance. Or is it a distance? Kindred spirits are connected always. Warmly, Jude. And indeed, that is true. That is true. And I've had the privilege and pleasure of meeting Jude. And so, definitely not at a distance.
I didn't know that. Well, dude, that's much appreciated.
Shorty in L.A. says, wait, a real icebox, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you put the block of ice in it.
And it has a spigot.
That's how you drain off the water.
Yeah, this is the fancy one. I've been doing a little research. Most of them do not have spigots. So this one has a, like, it gets funneled off into one separate chamber and has a little spigot. And I remember my parents fighting over that during the divorce. Now I know why. So I'm going to hold on to that little fucking.
Oh, and your dad got it.
Yeah, he won that battle. So, but now I got to figure out what to do with the piano.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I mean I know there's trauma that goes with that, but now that sounds like a punchline, Todd. I'm sorry, it does. Now I got to figure out what to do with the piano. You see what I mean?
I do. It sounds perverse, but that's just the truth of the matter. I would like to see. And I've been, you know, we played it. There's nothing wrong with it. It plays and everything, you know. But, so, what I'm thinking is that I want to donate to a charter school in the area. Because they don't have as much red tape, but they're still affiliated up the school. And then, you know, take it as a tax write-off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Those tax write-offs can be really tasty. I've got a tax write-off story right here.
No, you...
Yep. Trump pack. No, really. Trump PAC recently gave 650,000 simoleons to the Smithsonian. And, I mean, I think you know the culture well enough that there's no money that a museum will not take.
That's crazy, though. Oh, my God, that's insane.
When you consider that the Smithsonian Institution, the Smithsonian was founded on money donated from South African gold and diamond mining? Well, Trump PAC gave $650,000 to the Smithsonian so that portraits of him and melanoma can hang in the National Portrait Gallery.
Oh, you know what? They paid a lot because that normally will be free.
Well, I didn't know that the National Portrait Gallery had a treason wing. And then there's the additional question of will melanoma be wearing clothing?
We didn't get to that. We haven't talked in so long, my dear. Look, wait a minute. I'm so glad you brought. You're the segue master. I'm tangent man, but you're the segue master. Okay, so all these things that we've already known about this entity known as Trump. I mean, he gave away secrets in broad daylight in front of everybody.
You remind me. I think if we saw the long form birth certificate on Donald Trump, his middle name would actually be Cthulhu.
I mean, this fucker is a bona fide Russian asset. Well, he's an asset somehow, but come on. And the only reason I say Russian, because I know he could have sold, you know, he's about the money. However, he's partial to Putin.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm wondering if some of those SCI documents might have a little notation in his Sharpie scrawl on it, sent to Pootie.
Yeah. So he can keep track. Right, a little check mark. Okay, that was sent. I got a code with something new. Right. Because this fucker, I mean, we already know what he is. If people have been paying attention, and now we know. I mean, come on. Like the circumstantial evidence is just abounding. It's an avalanche. And we already know his character. Now it's time to turn back the clock and look at all this behavior in and around this whole Trump camp.
And taken in context, it's an entirely different portrait. See what
it's
I did there?
Entirely different. Yes, you did, and you did it well. That's a crowd bell.
I say crowd. I got a couple of them. Okay, so here's the first one. And here's the second one. The second one came from Lee. Lee said, you get a cowbell for I didn't know the National Gallery had a treason wing. And by the way, thank you to Mark in Florida and an anonymous friend. And thank you to Emilio. All three responded to Ralph's challenge. So that takes us down to 1650. 1650. So that means that we will not have a $2,000 fundraising goal tomorrow on a Tuesday. So we are at 1650. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. That's tremendous. And by the way, Shorty wants you to know, remember, they're never gone. As long as any of our parents' children are living and we have children and so on, they're never gone. There's a website called Never Gone. And, you know, it's as far as I can tell, it's the only form of eternity we have. But you were saying when I so rudely interrupted.
You weren't rude. That was important. I was just saying that maybe we need to look back at some of these incidences that look suspect, especially to people who engage in this conversation. We already kind of knew. I mean, it was speculation. It's still speculation, but I mean, come on. For instance, there was a Chinese national woman that came in with multiple electronic devices.
Yeah, just kind of wandered onto Mara Lardass. I remember her.
You remember her? She had every type of recording and optical device you could think of.
She was a tourist.
So, I mean, come on. Yeah, she was a tourist, my aunt. Right. So, you know, was she in there taking pictures? Because now, I mean, you know, come on. What? We don't know how many pictures have been taken of those documents.
Well, and it's interesting you mention that because I got another story sitting here.
Segway, man, woman.
Yeah, thank you. Remember Stephanie Grisham? She was the White House spokescreep for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is now saying in media, in interviews, that Nitwit Nero treated classified information like a shiny new toy. And in speaking to the Associated Press, she went on to say that he was extremely careless with classified information. She described it as his own shiny toy he's showing off to his friends to impress them, and that he was eager to share the info. He was careless with sensitive information. Okay, great. I'm so glad you're telling us now, Steph. Maybe it might have been handy if you would have said something to somebody back when he was, for instance, sharing classified info with Shinzo Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, and then inviting club members to come over and have a look, too, and take cell phone photos of, about North Korean missile sites.
You remember that? They were all around the table out at the...
Yeah, hell yeah, I remember that.
Having cocktails, laughing. Oh my, you know how much it's going to cost to retool our intelligence agencies and get new...
Oh, Jesus, I know.
God only knows.
And what's more, you know, there was like a... there was a dog, okay? Remember the dog?
No.
The dog was named Conan, a military dog, and he was used in the hunt for Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi when we wasted him.
Oh, right.
And they told him specifically, don't show the dog because it could pose a security risk to the dog's handlers.
Oh, and he doesn't like animals. Remember, he hates dogs.
But he showed the dog anyway, and Stephanie Grisham told AP, because he wanted the publicity, out went Conan. It was an example of him not caring if he put lives in danger. Where were you, Steffers? Where were you back when this shit... Oh, wait, you were... Oh, I see, yeah. The check was still clearing.
You know, folks, this is a lesson.
when you see wrongdoing in your organization, get your
and then
there,
and,
your
yeah,
money.
Right, and then there's John Pornstash Bolton. Remember him?
Oh, of course.
He said Trump didn't seem to appreciate just how sensitive classified information was, how dangerous it was for some of our people and the risks that they could be exposed to. What looks like an innocuous picture to a private citizen can be a gold mine to foreign intelligence.
Where were you? Where were you, porn stash? Where were you? Oh, the check was still clearing.
See, now, all these books were true. Now we look back. Who was the first guy? Robert starts it in half. All these books, all of them were true. All of this stuff, all of it. And but these people cannot be turned around because I have to say it once again. They are. This is who we are. They're living vicariously through him. That's just a fancy word for saying that he is the body and blood of themselves. So if they perceive that he's being hurt, they feel hurt.
He is their God Emperor.
He's their God Emperor. Don't you dare hurt him. That's why you listen to C-SPAN.
Give Trump a chance.
Give him a chance. You ain't give that man a chance. He don't wait in there, y'all. He can't see it from day one. That one little vaccine word, that old nigga bitch. You never see her. You see it on the tape. Trump. Never come. Never come. He was a never Trumper anyway. So what does that mean? That, like, you don't want a mentally ill, fascist, weirdo in charge of the country because he's going to do exactly what he did? Is that what you mean, you stupid fucker? Is that what the fuck you mean?
There we go. Hey, Todd.
I mean, what the fuck? I'm sorry.
My dear friend, we have run over time.
Okay.
I'm so glad you called.
It was nice talking with you, Robin.
It's always nice talking with you, and I don't know if you heard the food porn earlier, but we got to have some food porn.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had enough time to do Pittsburgh? I mean, mm-hmm. I know you know Philly inside and out, but that's
I've been to Pittsburgh.
Pierogies, halloukis, and I have never had dried kielbasa before. I gotta call these people and see if they ship. I don't know how they, but maybe in the dead of winter when things are really frozen up. And after the
show, whoa, wait a minute, dried kielbasa. I'm thinking there's a whole lot you could do with that. Potatoes and cheese.
And just don't be thinking I'm getting all Dr. Oz, but on a charcuterie board, whew.
Yeah.
And I mean, so good, so good. So maybe in the dead of winter when everything's frozen solid, because they had jalapeno and potato pierogies. They were
mm-hmm.
out. And I brought back. We've already gone through the potato and cheddar pierogies. I think after the program, I'm gonna heat up ever so gently because they're kind of delicate. Ever so gently heat up the sauerkraut and mushroom pierogies. Does that just sound like a thing?
Oh, that sounds delicious. Yo, you want some broccoli on the side with that? I don't know if you like broccoli.
Oh, I love broccoli, but I don't know. Just these. Oh, and you know, halouskis are just cabbage rolls, but my God, these. Oh, and the tomato sauce. It wasn't all loaded with garlic. No, there was. It was all thin tomato sauce on the halouskis with allspice.
Huh.
And a little black pepper. And tart and tangy with that. Oh, goodness, man.
That sounds delicious.
I need somewhere around here I can get that. In fact, I was talking to my friends over at Swiftwater General Store, and the chef there said, you know, you're making me think, if the cabbage comes in on time, we'll do halouskis for Chef's Choice on Thursday. I said, I will be here. Absolutely.
Oh, is that where you put the two? You have, like, it's steamed. You put the stuff inside the cabbage and you steam it.
Yeah, you blanch the cabbage so it can, like, fold and stuff. And and the mixture is like ground beef and rice and spices, and you fold it up nice and snug, and then you steam the whole thing, and then you and then you simmer it in the tomato sauce.
It's worth the work. God, it really is.
Oh,
that's some. You better make sure your bed is made after you eat that, because you might get either you're going to be up and get rowdy, or you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah, that you mean you mean the dinner coma?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it's great to hear from you. It really, really is. And I hope we talk soon.
I do also, Robin, and I feel the same way. Thank you very much. And, everybody, go. We got to keep things moving.
So yeah, down to 16. We're down to 1650. Or no. No, 1550. 1550. Another $50, and we've cleared another show's funding from like 2 weeks ago. Oh.
Come on, Yuki.
We've talked. Shorty in LA said, oh, food porn. I need a cigarette now. Yeah.
Well, I'll have some food porn for you next time, and I'll start off with
it. Sounds good. I had a note from. I hope to make it down to the meeting with my sisters down at the beach in October, and I had a note saying, you bringing barbecue again? So I'm taking barbecue to the beach again.
Mm-hmm.
And that did my heart good. Do my heart good to get down there for a little bit and just hear the sound of the gentle surf. Yeah, because there's not a lot of surf down there. It's just hush, 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 hush on that domino sugar white baby powder sand. Yeah.
Are you talking about Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that net. Well, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if there's been a Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw sighting lately, because apparently she is not a well woman. Lieutenant Governor of Alabama, maybe.
She must be asleep. Where the hell has she been at? You're right. She's been asleep since the last campaign.
Well, she's had problems in the past. She's not a well woman. And she may end her life suffused with hate, and I'd hate to be the one hearing them bat wings flutter around my ears, but you do you, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw. All right, we're out of here, Todd. You have a good evening, my friend.
You too, lady.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay.
And so we come to the end of the program. We are we're making progress, $50 away from having another full show funded from a while back. Thank you, everybody that's jumped in this evening. Thank you. And we'll keep trying tomorrow. And hopefully come Wednesday, we'll still have a show. Remains to be seen. Fingers crossed. Thanks to all of you, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, for popping by the chat room. Much obliged. And thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is just keep the player open here at HeadOn.live. And Malloy will be along at 9 o'clock. And thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Oh, by the way, the BA5 variant vaccine has been handed off to the CDC and the FDA for approval. Hopefully that'll be available in September. That's good news. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. For God's sakes, wear your masks. I wore my mask while I was at Netroots Nation. A lot of mask wearing going on there. I had to present a mask just to get my lanyard for my credentials. Wear your mask. Stay safe. I had a note from a dear friend today who said, well, damn it, I tested positive. And she feels like crap. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet. Like Paul from Parts Unknown says, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes waddling and burbling to you all about how
we don't need to be teaching no science and history in first through fifth grade,
avoid that maggot like the plague, because he is. And like I said, always, Gina, all for you. Later.